Today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. This is an important day, not just because it's Jan's birthday, but it's also the day of Pentecost. It's also the birthday of the church. 50 days after Easter. And we're going to talk some more about that, but I want to read these verses for you first about what Paul shares with the Roman church. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present moment. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Today's Pentecost. And I know that some folks want to assign everything that might be a labeled Pentecost or Pentecostal over to one denomination or to another. And people have this idea that what it means to be Pentecostal is it means to be emotional. It means to dance in the aisles. It means to speak in tongues. It means to run around the church like you're crazy. That's what some people have this idea the Pentecostal means. And that's not what it means by Scripture at all. Yes, there's a denomination in particular that those are some of the characteristics of that denomination. But Pentecost is an important day because it's the birthday of the church universal. It's that day that the church began 50 days after Easter. 10 days after the ascension of Jesus up into heaven. And in the book of Acts, Jesus says in chapter 1, verse 8, He says, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and all the world." You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We spent some time in Sunday school talking about this today, and what does it mean for us to celebrate Pentecost and be excited about Pentecost? I know for Baptist churches there's two high holy days. You got Christmas, particularly Christmas Eve service, and then you got Easter. That's Baptist two high holy days. I want to say that we need to add another high holy day, and that's the day of Pentecost, because we need to understand about Pentecost and about what that is. It's the day the Holy Spirit comes down upon the church. It's the day that all of us receive God in God's fullness to be inside of us and to walk with us wherever we go. When somebody becomes a Christian, how much of God do they receive? Anybody got an answer? How much of God do you receive when you become a Christian? 10%, 15%, 25%? How much do you get? All of it. You get all of it through the Holy Spirit coming to exist in you and through you. It does not matter how long you walk with God, you still got 100% of God in you from the very first day you accept Jesus Christ. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, he says, "Do y'all not know that y'all are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit lives within y'all? All right, I took a little liberty of translating there. Because Southern people know how to say you, plural-wise, okay? The Scripture is not just about one person receiving the Holy Spirit. The Scripture is about y'all do. All of us. We receive the Holy Spirit just the same as it was done on the day of Pentecost. It comes to live within you, to enliven you, to excite you, to bubble over and out of you. I can tell that's happening. As I look around, I can see it happening in y'all. It's just bubbling all over the place right now as you sit there. I'm teasing, but I'm not. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and it should make a difference in our lives. You see, Jesus doesn't live here on earth anymore. Jesus ascended back to heaven. They watched him ascend. He will come again, but he does not live here on earth now. The Scripture says that he lives at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for us, talking to God about us, sharing with God about what we need. And the Holy Spirit has come down upon the church, upon those who believe in Jesus Christ, to enliven us. And because it's not a completed process yet, because it's not, I mean, the Holy Spirit's within us, but there's still something, the kingdom of God is not complete. And because of that, the church, the community of believers, not the building, the community of believers, and all creation groans inwardly, looking toward the bodily redemption of all the believers in Jesus Christ. You see, we groan. I know a lot of Christian people that are really good at groaning. Maybe you guys know some of them. They're really good about groaning. They can groan about a great number of things. But in this case, it says that we groan because we want to see the completion of God's kingdom. And it says all of creation with us groans. You see, it's not just humanity that fell when sin came into this world. It's also the creation. It's one of the reasons I love to get out in the midst of creation and see what's there. But it groans because things are not set right in creation right now. Things are not set right. And creation, along with us, is groaning to see what happens at the bodily resurrection of the believers in Jesus Christ? It groans. So now you can tell people when you're groaning that it's biblical. However, I'm going to caution you. I think we need to move past the groaning stage. And we need to move to the place where we're celebrating. Because Jesus talks about this Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will be our comforter, will be our advocate, will be our teacher, will be our guide. This Holy Spirit is the one that helps us walk the path now. When you feel comforted by God, it's the Holy Spirit that has done that. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within you. When you feel like somebody's speaking on your behalf, you can't quite hear it, but you know somebody's speaking, it's the Holy Spirit speaking upon your behalf to God and to others. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would teach us and would remind us. One of the things I remember that Jesus said in one of his last nights with the disciples, he said, you know, there's an awful lot of things I need to teach you. There's an awful lot of things that you need to know, but you're not quite ready to know it yet. You're not quite ready to know it yet. And then he goes on to say, but When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will teach you and will remind you of what I taught and what I said. Before the day of Pentecost, the disciples were still confused. What is all this about resurrection? What is all this about dying and being resurrected? What is all of this that Jesus has talked to us about? It's so confusing and so hard to understand. It's just right there in front of us. But when the Holy Spirit comes, do you know what happens when the Holy Spirit comes? I would encourage you, I chose not to preach from Acts chapter 2 today, which is where the day of Pentecost is in Scripture. Okay? Acts chapter 2 is where the day of Pentecost is in Scripture. And I would encourage you to read that, because what happens, it says they're all together in one place, and down out of the heavens. That's why I chose this backdrop, and that's why this is why you got the cover on the front of the bulletin. Okay? Down out of heaven comes what looks like fiery tongues. And a spirit descends that looks like a dove and comes amongst the people. And all of a sudden, all these, I'm going to talk about the fishermen. We don't have any fishermen in here, we do. It's safe to talk about fishermen, right? Commercial fishermen. I know some of you might like to go fishing, but you know, Peter and all those who are fishermen, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes within their life and they are speaking in languages they don't know. And all the other people that are gathered there in Jerusalem for the Jewish festival from around the world are hearing these disciples, who are not educated men, by the way, speak in their own language. The day of Pentecost is not about speaking in a tongue that sounds silly. It's not about speaking in a tongue that nobody knows. The day of Pentecost is about speaking in a tongue and people say, "What is wrong with these guys? What is going on? I'm hearing what they're sharing about Jesus Christ in my own language." That's what they're saying on the day of Pentecost. It's not something for us to be scared about. The word of Jesus Christ is being passed around the world through these people that are there for the festival, and they're hearing it in their own language. And they're going to go back home and say, "You know what we heard about Jesus Christ? And we heard it in our own language, not in another one." What a dynamic and incredible thing. Can you see that? What a dynamic and incredible thing that happens on that day. The Holy Spirit comes and allows them to speak, and a million or so people heard the gospel in their own language from fishermen and from those who were not educated. Is that not incredible? But there was a group of people kind of standing off to the side, and some of us might be the same way. They were kind of off to the side, and they were like, "I don't know what's happening here." I want you to know the scripture tells you it's 9 o'clock in the morning when this happens. Awful early for something like this to be happening, don't you think? 9 o'clock in the morning, this is happening. All these different people are speaking in different tongues and different languages, and different things are going on, and they're getting excited about being part of the church. And these people are standing over here and going, "Look at them. I guess they've been up all night drinking, because they surely do act like they're drunk." And right then is when the fisherman Peter stands up and gives the very first Christian sermon. And he says, "You think they're drunk? These people are not drunk. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading them and comforting them and teaching them and helping them." Peter says, "That's what's going on." And he preaches a sermon, and I want you to know, and I would encourage you to go read it, Peter never tells them how to get saved. He never extends an invitation at the end of a sermon. He never tells them how to get right with God. But the words that he uses and how the Holy Spirit works in that day, the Holy Spirit starts working in other people's hearts, and Peter says, amen, end of sermon. And the people go, will you please tell us how to get right with God? Their hearts are tugged by the Holy Spirit so much that they actually beg Peter to tell them how to get saved. And Peter gets up and gives an encore to a sermon. And he tells them what they've got to do to get saved. You see, that's the birthday of the church. That's what happens on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes, and Jesus says the Holy Spirit has to come. I must leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. Because what happens, Paul talks about it in this passage very well. Where we are weak, the Holy Spirit helps us. Where we are weak, the Holy Spirit helps us. Are you a weak person? Do you actually feel like, you know, I can't live this Christian life the way God's calling me to live this Christian life? It's difficult. It's hard. Folks, that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit, so that we can be lifted up. You admire all those people in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament. You admire them for what they were able to do, and the words that we have about many of them, they never had the Holy Spirit. They didn't get what we got. We've got the Holy Spirit as a helpmate. We've got the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a counselor, as an advocate, as a teacher, as a helper, as one who will walk alongside of us the whole way. And you see, a lot of people in the Old Testament never got that. The disciples, when they walked with Jesus, didn't get that. They had Jesus' presence with them. They didn't get the Holy Spirit. Read the Gospels. A number of times in the Gospels it says they did not understand what he was talking about because the Holy Spirit had not come yet. This is what it's talking about. The Holy Spirit had not come yet. And folks, we're in a whole different category than all those people in the Bible. We've got the Holy Spirit in our community existing with us and helping us. It should be empowering us and lifting us up. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does, and look at this, it says the Holy Spirit even groans for us when we don't know how to pray. You ever been to God and you come into God's presence and you want to pray? And you just kind of sit there in God's presence and you don't know what to say. God, with everything that's going on in my life right now, everything that's happening in my life right now, I really don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to pour this out. And really all your heart is doing is what? Just groaning, right? Gosh, I want God to help me, but I don't know how to put this in words and I don't know how to say it. Look at what Paul says the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit takes what's going on in the midst of our lives, and it says the Holy Spirit groans for us. God groans for us. Is that not incredible? It takes our groans, and it makes it groans that God can understand. It puts it into some kind of semblance and word and order that God understands. And God, through the Holy Spirit, says, I know what you're talking about. And you've never said a word. Folks, I'm serious when I think about this, and that We need to stop assigning the Holy Spirit over to any one denomination. We need to stop assigning it over to the, whether it's the Pentecostal Holiness Church or whether it's Pentecostal, what I'm sure they've got about 12 different names. But it's got Pentecostal, and we need to stop assigning it over to them and saying, that's all about emotions, and I'm not going to be emotional about my faith. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be emotional about my faith. God saved me. God picked me up out of the miry clay and made me whole again. God healed me. I'm going to be emotional about that. Shouldn't you? I will not ever experience hell. I walked upstairs the other night. I'm going to tell a little story. I walked upstairs the other night, and Jan and Bonnie and Daniel were up there, and they were working on things for Vacation Bible School. I wanted to see what they were working on. Oh, I do want to let you know this, just so you can be prepared. Remember, we sent out messages through Hope Packs for Trunk or Treat. And you remember how many people showed up? Well, guess what? We're sending out word about our Vacation Bible School through Hope Packs. I hope you're ready. But at any rate, I went upstairs. I wanted to see what they were doing, and then dynamic. Absolutely dynamic what I saw up there. But you guys know it was a little warm earlier this week. And Bonnie looked at me and she said, Pastor, it's hotter than you know what up here. And I just looked at her and I said, why should I know that? Why should I know that? Because Jesus Christ has already saved me. I'm not going to experience that. Amen? Folks, let's be about the excitement, not about, oh, great, I got out of something. Let's be about the excitement of what the Holy Spirit can do within us and how the Holy Spirit works through us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit helps us. The last thing I'll mention about the Holy Spirit in a way is the Holy Spirit intercedes. Or prays for us. I know when I use the word intercedes, people are like, well, what do you mean? What is that? The Holy Spirit actually prays for us. You see, the Holy Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit is in contact with what's going on in us, in our heart, in our minds. The Holy Spirit knows who we are as a person, and the Holy Spirit takes that to God and says, God, here's what this person best needs right now. Isn't that incredible? Here's what this person best needs right now. Now, I'm not going to try to explain the Trinity to you today, because it's not easy to explain. We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, but there are three different aspects of the God that we know. Not three separate things, they are three different aspects. God the Father is in heaven. God the Son is at his right hand, talking to God about us right now. And God the Holy Spirit is here upon the earth within us. Jesus said, you will do greater things than me. Some of the first few times I looked at that scripture, I was like, what? Jesus, you did some incredible things. How am I going to do more than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ raised people from the dead. I haven't done that yet. Jesus Christ healed people. I haven't done that. And Jesus says, you're going to do greater things than me. How is that even possible? You know how it's possible one way? The Holy Spirit is in each one of us. And we're going to leave today and we're going to go in about 70 different directions, different times throughout this day. And everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit goes with you if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will go places I won't go today. You do realize that Jesus was limited to being in one place at one moment. This afternoon, there will be a chance that we'll be in at least 50 different places. And the Holy Spirit will be in us, living in us, and wanting to live through us and touch the people that we touch. That's how we do greater things than Jesus Christ. Because we're not limited as much as He was by space and time. And the Holy Spirit is praying that you will allow the Spirit to live through you. That you allow the Spirit to guide you. You ever been any place and for some reason or another somebody comes to mind? Maybe somebody you haven't thought about for a while and they come to mind. You know what I think? I think that might be the Holy Spirit nudging at you, asking you to lift them up in prayer. To say a word for them. You have no idea where they might be or what's going on with them. You may not have seen them in years. You may have seen them yesterday. But God's saying, will you pray for them just for a moment because they really need it? Prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. Have you ever been somewhere and God brings to mind there's somebody you need to call? I think that's the Holy Spirit nudging at you, saying they need to hear an encouraging word from you. They don't need to hear a groan from you. They need to hear an encouraging word. Folks, let's not assign the Holy Spirit to any one denomination. I know it's uncomfortable for Baptists to talk about the Holy Spirit because that might mean I'm doing this while I'm singing. That's what we think, don't we? It might make me raise my hands while I sing, so I'm going to stand here like this so my hands don't raise. Just because the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding you, it doesn't mean your hands are going to raise. Just because the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding you, it doesn't mean that you're going to speak a language that you don't know. But I can tell you this very confidently. You need to know the Holy Spirit if you're going to be a Christian. Because that's the aspect of God that's here on this earth right now. You need to know the Holy Spirit. You need to look at Acts chapter 2 and what happened there and what went on there. You need to look at John chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit again and again and again, his last night with the disciples. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? You need to read Paul's letters as he talks about how the Holy Spirit has guided him and led him in certain directions, in certain ways. You need to get in touch with that. Because the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate with you. The day of Pentecost is a high holy day, and it should be something that we're excited about. Because we're celebrating the birthday of the church. We're celebrating the first Christian sermon done by a fisherman. So I'm going to leave you with this. What kind of relationship do you have with the Holy Spirit? We talk about having a relationship with God. We talk about having a relationship with Jesus. What kind of relationship do you have with the Holy Spirit? And can the Holy Spirit lead and guide you through this life? Because that's the aspect of God that's here now at this moment. Let's pray. Lord, we truly do need you. And we truly do need to understand in a deeper and a richer way how you have designed things and how you have brought them about. And Lord, sometimes we need to once again refresh our relationship with you. And you've allowed that to happen through the Holy Spirit. Through a spirit that exists in each and every one of us in a dynamic way, wanting to lead us in dynamic ways. May we listen to the Spirit. May we feel those little nudges. May we understand them as calling us into action. And Lord, when we come to a place in our life where all we can do is groan, may we realize that your Holy Spirit is groaning too with us, along with us, and taking those groans and making them into something that you understand what we need. Lord, please, please help us to know this Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.